Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go to Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 12th verse. And I'll read one verse of scripture there. And while you're finding Matthew 11 and 12, let me welcome those who will be with us on Facebook today and those who will be listening eventually by HLE radio around the world. Praise the Lord. From Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Now, I've been questioned about that verse, similar verses, for quite a few years. People not understanding what it means and what it's saying when it talks about violence and force. So this morning we're going to try to get some understanding of that, know what God is talking about when His Word tells us that. I didn't read all of the verses, but back in verse 7, Jesus begins to speak to what John the Baptist was. He was introducing John the Baptist to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the other seas that were around there, and he begins to explain to them about John the Baptist. And he asked the crowd that gathered there a question. And he asked it three times because it was very important. And part of that question was this: what went ye out to see? In other words, what have you come here for? What have you come to see? This crowd was gathering around and he was questioning now, why are you here? And then he gives some kind of a explanation to him and the question, and he said, "Did you come to see a weakling, like a reed shaken in the wind? Is that what you came to see? Or did you come to see a man clothed in fine linen?" Well, you know, the raiment that he had on was not fine. It was goat's hair and probably not very good to smell or to look upon. And he said, "Did you come out here to see a man like that, or did you come to see a prophet?" That was the real question that Jesus was asking them. Did you come to see a prophet? And in answer to that, Jesus tells them what they really saw. He said, "You saw a prophet and more than a prophet." Of course, you know that this happens because John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He brought the message of Jesus Christ to this world at that time. And he was the first, as a prophet, he was the first to suffer the violence that came with that responsibility that the Lord had put upon him. And he suffered violence, and that was yet to come to the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ was crucified. It was a violent thing. It was violent because of the transition that was taking a place from the old law to the new law, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the old covenant to the new covenant. There was a big change fixing to take place here. You have to understand, when Jesus came, everything changed. The world was never to be the same again. Never. And it has happened since he came, and we are a part of that transition and that change that has moved now into a new covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the beginning of the violence was the transition that would take place from the old covenant into the new covenant. A lot of violence back then, a lot of killing, a lot of opposition to Jesus Christ, a lot of opposition to the new covenant. These people didn't want to give up their position. This was not going to be an easy and a simple task. It was going to turn violent. It was going to be a hard road to hoe. The law given to Moses was the plan of God, and that plan included many things. In the Old Testament, we have the law of human nature, which was the human conduct. The Word of God tells us how to conduct ourselves, how we're supposed to act and talk and speak and be what we're supposed to be before the Lord in the world. And then they had the ceremonial law, which was worship. That transition was made when Christ came, because the worship of the sacrifice, which was a type of Christ, now moved to the worship of Christ. And of course, that made the religious folks mad, because they did not believe that he was the Son of God. And then he had the judicial law, which was really the civil policies by which man was to govern himself, that God placed in the law for man to heed. Then you had the moral law, which was the will of God for human conduct also. The moral law was in the Word, and it was in the Old Testament law. Then you had the positive laws that was founded on the will of God. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see the same thing that we find in the New Testament, according to God's will. And it was according to God's will that these positive laws were founded, because everything about God is positive if you're a Christian. If you're not a follower of him, then most of this stuff is negative to you. But if you're a born-again believer, they were under the law then, we are under this new covenant, it all becomes a positive thing. Going to heaven is a positive thing. Living for Christ is a positive thing. It's not supposed to be something negative in your life. And then there was the moral and positive laws combined. And they were commanded by God because they are right for mankind. God's never done anything wrong for mankind. He's always done something that was right and something that would produce character in a person and something would produce a Christ-like style in their life, because that's what he wanted. So man's desire to set their own religious laws and their rituals always violates God's law. Always. God's law is not based upon rituals and laws and decrees made by man. His law is based upon his principles, which are always godly, which are always a positive effect on our lives. But the transition from law to grace, or from religion to Christ, we might say, from the works of grace, it brought about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and there was a purpose to that. But that was the result of that transition that was taking place. This is what had to happen to move from one religious area of time to another righteous area of time. Righteousness does away with religion. And these old law keepers of the Old Testament, when it came time to give up their position, they were not happy about that. Same thing today. They don't want to give up their position. See, the religious leaders would desire to have a lie over the truth. What do we see today? The Bible says in these last days, good would be called evil, evil would be called good. Huh? Religion doesn't want to give up their lie. They want their position, and they want to protect it. You have to do that by lying, and that's what they do. The truth is Christ, and the position of religion is usually a lie ruled by religion itself. And from the day of John the Baptist, this proclaims John's introducing the kingdom of heaven. From that day, Jesus said, from that day until now. Well, that day until now speaks only of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to the old law. I don't want to live under that law. Jesus came so that we don't have to live under that law. He has set us free from religious law. He has set us free from man-made law. Now we live under the law of Christ. liberty in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. The problem is we have to be careful to not let our liberty in Christ become an occasion to our flesh. In other words, you got to know what Christ said about our liberty. Our liberty is in Him. Our freedom is in Him. Everything we have is wrapped up in Him. And when that, when He is not involved in our service and our church and our worship and everything that we do, if He's not the center of that, then it's not of Him. It turns into something made by man. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence from the days of John the Baptist until now. That statement was not made in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. And there was a reason for that. That statement was made because Jesus Christ came. God, man, God in the flesh came. He didn't come in the Old Testament. He came to bring a division between the laws of man and the laws of Christ and righteousness. When He introduced that law as Himself being God, equal to God, because He was, when He introduced that, then the religious leaders realized they were in trouble. They knew then that from that time on, all of their religious stuff, all of the laws that they had made up, would no longer govern the people. They would lose their position. So His purpose and His mission was to bring in that new covenant that you and I still live under today. And it would usher in the kingdom of heaven in this world. And if you notice something, when the Lord spoke in parables, He likened the things of this world to the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God. We talk about the parables. You can go read every parable that you want to read, and you'll always find that He likened a man, what he does, to the kingdom of heaven. And that was because the kingdom of heaven came to earth with Him. It came with Him. The kingdom of heaven was not in the earth in the Old Testament. It came to earth in the New Testament when Jesus came to earth and He made that difference and He made that division. Now the kingdom of heaven was in the hearts of mankind who would give their heart and their life and service to Jesus Christ. And over again in His parables, He said it's likened unto the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, which is where the throne of God is, will all come together in the last of it all, when it's all done and said, when the wars are over, when a new heaven and a new earth is here, then there will be one kingdom, the kingdom of God. So we understand now that Jesus is the reason for the violence. Well, He so much as said it Himself when He said, I have not come to bring a gathering together of that which is evil and good. He said, I've come to separate that. See, that's what hurt those religious people. That's what makes them mad at you today when you try to testify to them. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're lost. They all shut up. You don't know nothing. I've got my religion. That's the sad part about it. You've got religion. What you need is Christ. Because a lot of people don't understand. Well, I know you do because you've heard me preach it before, and I hope you remember it. What a parable is, a parable is a story that reveals the truth. I remember. That's funny how you can remember things years ago that you can't remember yesterday. In a conversation with a fellow, he said, why do you tell these little stories sometimes when you're preaching? I said, they're not stories, they're parables. He said, they're parables? I said, yeah. I said, a parable is a story that relates to a truth. And I said, I'm going to tell you one that I usually tell the congregation, and I've told you all this before, so if you're new here, you might have never heard it. But I told a story of the preacher who always had a scripture when anything happened to him. Whatever happened in his life, he'd find a scripture and he'd quote that scripture because that was the reason it happened to him. So he was preaching one morning with his mouth wide open and a fly flew in his mouth. And there was silence in the congregation because they were wondering what he's going to say now. Well, he gulped the fly down and he waited for a second or two and then he said, "He was a stranger and I took him in." I said, "That's a parable because it relates to a truth. The Lord took us in. We were strangers and the Lord took us in." Well, that's enough parables for now. We'll get to some more later on. From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence unto now. We are the now. When that division came between old and new, we become a part of the new covenant, the now covenant. Huh? We are told that now is the day, now is the time. Why now? Because you may not have a now tomorrow. All of those young girls and the adults went to a church gathering on the Guadalupe River. You see, their now came with a flash flood that destroyed many lives. No one went to that gathering because it was a church gathering. No one went there anticipating that that was the last they'd ever do or see on this earth. They went there with joy in their heart. A camp meeting, a beautiful river. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it is a beautiful river when it's normal. Sometimes it's just a little old creek that's flowing. No one went there not knowing that now is the important time. And so many people have met their faith. And that's why the now is mentioned many times in the Bible. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. Now. Not tomorrow, but now is that time. Now we are living in such a time as this that the world has never known before, where Christ has established his church and all who will come to it can be a part of it. And in being a part of that, you also receive those promises that are great, precious, and their promises given to now. So now, he said, from John the Baptist until now, every day is our now. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The fact is that Jesus is the new covenant. That's why he was crucified. He didn't pass it on to someone else. He took it upon himself. When we talk about a new covenant, when we talk about a new way, we have to be speaking of Jesus Christ. Because he made the transition from old to new. And he said in his word, he said, "You now have a better covenant." Why? Because we don't have to sacrifice animals on an altar. We don't have to go through the rituals of the Old Testament because now we have Jesus himself. All those animals that were crucified and were slaughtered and were slain for sacrifice were a type of Jesus Christ. But now we have Jesus Christ. We don't just have a type of him, we have him. And the cross was the means by which the new covenant was sealed by his blood. That's why we love to sing about the blood of Jesus. That's what sealed the covenant. That's what sealed the new covenant. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't seal the old covenant because that was the type of a new covenant that was coming. But now the new covenant is sealed. That's why we can sing, Shelley sings the song, "You Can't Cross Over the Bloodline." Why? Because it's sealed with blood of deity, Jesus Christ. And the devil can't cross over that line. Oh, he tries many times, and he'll fight and fight to do it. But the Bible says that's the line he can't cross over. He said it about Job. He said you can take everything he has, but there's a line you can't cross over. You can't touch his life. And he says that about us. There's a line that the devil cannot cross over. He can't stop you from going to heaven. Oh, you have a lot to say about that. But the devil has nothing to say about it. You are chosen. Many are called, few are frozen. I mean chosen. Slip of the tongue. I'm not going to go into frozen. Every born again believer is in this new covenant. Every born again believer is in this new covenant. Now, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to worry about yesterday. You are in it now. If you are trusting God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in covenant with Him right now. That's why the devil is fighting. That's why he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy, because he knows you are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross was the means by which the new covenant was sealed in his blood. Every born-again believer is sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes up his church. That's what separates his church now from an apostate church that it does exist now. At the same time, When the covenant was made, when Jesus came, when the change and the transition took place, there was a law, a religious law that had to be put aside in order for the new covenant to take over. That's what happens in salvation. Oh, I've heard so many people say, "Well, I don't want to serve the Lord. Look at all I'd have to give up." No, you don't have to give up your friends. They'll give you up. As soon as you tell them about Jesus, they'll be gone. Never to be heard of again. Except for the fact that they'll watch your life now to see if it's real or not. So this is what makes up the true church of Jesus. And the gates of hell, he said, will not prevail against it. Now, the gates of hell is a reference to the kingdom of darkness that's in the world today. So the kingdom of darkness cannot prevail against Jesus Christ and his church. He's the head of the church. All this is his. We call it our church. That's okay. That's a figure of speech because this is where we go to church. But the reality of it is it's Christ's church. It's his church.
Amen.
And against his church, the gates of hell cannot prevail. That's not against this building. It's not against this land. It's against every individual who is born again. The gates of hell will not prevail against you because you are a part of the church of God that's headed up by Jesus Christ himself. Gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Oh, there's that bloodline again. Devil and all of his demons fight to cross over that bloodline, but they can't. It protects the eternal soul and the eternal spirit of everyone who belongs to the Lord. Much controversy has come about in these last days about whether you should be cremated or whether you should go lay in a coffin and let everybody look at you and gawk at you. And some are saying, "I just want to make sure he was dead." while others are sorry that you're gone. Yeah. Well, all of that has nothing to do with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, it don't make no difference. I don't think the Bible has anywhere written in it where it's a sin to cremate people. You say, well, it's all about the fire. Listen, there's a lot of people died in the fire. Many prophets were burned at the stake. Yeah. Many young men and women are dead at sea. Never been found. Their remains have been lost forever. But God knows where they're at. Because the scripture says, in that day, the sea shall give up their dead. I mean, He knows where we're all at this time and where some of them have been for thousands of years. But it's not going to stop Him and His plan for everyone who has Christ in their heart as Savior and Lord. And I believe many people, well, the old saying is, you never found an atheist on a crashing plane or a sinking ship. They're always walking around healthy and bragging about it. Until it comes time to meet the Lord, then things kind of happen different in their heart. Because of sin and man's sin nature. Oh, boy, if we just didn't have that sin nature, huh? Yeah. This old idea that sin doesn't exist after you're saved. Well, if you've been saved any time at all, you know that's a lie. Yes, Lord. We have a sin nature. It's not dead. It's alive within us. We're born with it. We'll leave it behind when we die. But right now, and every individual who tries to control the sin nature on their own or by some religious law or ritual will fail. The only control of the sin nature comes when we accept Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and convict us when we sin. Don't say I've never sinned. Jesus said you're a liar. I didn't say that. He said it. And we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, how do we get to heaven if we're going to do that? Huh? Because we don't stay down. We don't stay fallen.
That's right. Amen.
The grace of God is sufficient for us. We come back to the cross. We praise Him and honor Him. And we get back in position or fellowship with Jesus Christ. So the Bible has a lot to say about all of that. And I don't mean to cause a controversy of whether you should be cremated or not. Because when you die, you don't know if you're cremated or not. You'll get that about 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I know what he was talking about. Yeah, you're not going to know. All you're going to know is one day, that old dust and those old ashes are going to come together in a glorified body at the sounding of the trumpet. And the great resurrection morning. And those who are dead in Christ and buried are going to be raised first. And then those who are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up with them to be with the Lord in the air. Yeah, they're going to be first. Because they got to come up 6 feet deeper than where we are.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.